السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم ستي.
Welcome back.
الله يحييكي.
رمضان مبارك.
الله علينا وعليكم وعلى أمة محمد وعلى جميع خلقه الكرام.
So it's the second day of Ramadan. How's fasting been so far?
Well, for an old man, it's a bit heavy.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you're an old man who moves a lot.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
I remember days when it was much lighter, much easier than this.
You used to fast for like 3 months in a row.
Yeah.
Because even, by the way, for health reasons, subhanAllah, so me and my friends went out for iftar yesterday after the giving family, a few girls and me. We went to a Mexican restaurant. Honestly, food was amazing. It was just so nice. And we were sitting and talking. And one of the ladies sitting with us is a 48-year-old woman. And she, when she said when she turned 40, she really delved into health and nutrition in the sense of what she puts in her body, just on a personal level. Yes. Like she's not, ma'am titfelsaf, this is good, this is bad, but she really watched herself, what worked with her body, what didn't. And she did a deep dive into research because obviously the food pyramid is a scam. Like, let's just, don't even get me started.
It's a huge.
It's the biggest scam in the world. It's the biggest scam in the world. It's crazy. Hmm. Especially if you go into the details of like why they did it and how they did it, it's actually crazy. But so when she hit 40, she really delved into the whole nutritional aspect of her life. And she really believes that all disease starts in the gut, as do I, as do you. And subhanAllah, she said, I really, really, it taught me something. And I thought this was very interesting. She said, if someone tells me they're depressed, I'll tell them fast. If they'll tell me I'm lost, I'll tell them fast. If they'll tell me I don't know what to do, I'll tell them fast. Because this woman had reached the age of 40 and realized that everything worked out if she just took a day or two to fast, because that silencing of your needing to grab something and put it in your mouth and eat and fill certain voids, because as screwed up as people think their intimate relationships are, I think our relationships with food and money is far worse. Yes. You know? And subhanAllah, she was like, I would recommend fasting to anyone. You're depressed, fast. You're lost, fast. You need guidance, fast. And I think it's so important. Because fasting, it's not just about, oh, we're Muslims and it's Ramadan and we're gonna fast. The reasoning behind why we fast, the lessons behind why we fast, I think is the most imperative thing that people miss.
See, you said that all disease starts in the gut.
Amen.
And you said that fasting helps with the health.
Yes.
Well, nothing you said is new.
It's not
to the Muslim wisdom.
Yes.
And it's been yes, told to us perfectly by the most honorable and the most truthful tongue.
Amen.
Sahib al-Maqam al-A'la, Sayyidi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. قال المعدة بيت الداء. المعدة بيت الداء. The stomach is the house of disease. وقال صوموا تصحوا.
Yeah, that means fast and you will be healed.
And you will be healed.
You'll get better.
You'll get,
you
continue.
No, you go on.
And the only thing that we have so much in common with all spiritual aspects or all spiritual baths
is the fasting.
Is the fasting.
It's the one thing we all agree on, and in different ways.
كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم.
That means fasting was decreed upon you as it was upon those before you.
Huh. الذين من قبلكم, which means each and every nation, each and every generation, each and every religion, they were told to fast.
Yeah.
And our relationship with food has been screwed up intentionally.
Yeah.
And you
do
could
you
see.
Know, do you remember when I water fasted?
Yes, I remember.
Now, this is. I know it's a controversial topic because some people will be like, oh no, I don't think that's a very smart thing to do. And maybe it's not for everyone. But for me personally, I was just in a period in my life where I had gained so much weight in such a short amount of time because I was eating the most unhealthy things. I was in my early 20s. I was feeling very lost, very depressed, and all of the things that I had just mentioned. And I really needed like a shock to my gut system. And I water fasted for 10 days. It was maybe one of the hardest things I ever did.
I remember that very well.
Because I came to stay with you. It's one of the hard, because you can't be working and fasting, water fasting. It's very difficult. But subhanAllah, it really reset my gut. And just, it really reset a lot of things for me, because that I had to quiet my mind because all I could think about was how hungry I am, you know, and how hard this is. And then I realized I didn't have time to think about anything else, and things seemed so much smaller in the grand scheme of things.
In Islam, we see the five pillars of Islam. Mm-hmm. One of them is Salah, Zakah, Siyam, Hajj. If you go back to Quran, you will find a mentioning of all of them. But the only pillar that's been detailed, elaborately detailed,
is the Siyam.
Is the Siyam.
Yeah. But you know why? Because it's not just been detailed like how to fast, how to break your fast.
And when?
When? And what to do. Like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I believe the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam used to break his fast with water and a date, and then would go pray, and then maybe go eat. And the food was very, very simple. I think it was like a soup or bread, or it wasn't like a huge feast the way people do now. There was like an adab and an art to fasting, if I'm not mistaken.
You've known me for all of your life. Have you ever seen me indulge on
no.
iftar?
It's
something which I just simply don't know how.
But did what I say, is it accurate? Because I don't want to spread misinformation.
Okay, absolutely. Okay. Like, I don't understand how people will break their fasting and indulge in food. I few times where I'm invited and I have to act like I'm eating, I'll take a few spoons here and there, but it really affects me badly. Mm. Breakfast is drink, mainly water. My favorite in Ramadan is tea. Tea with no sugar.
Yeah.
Few pieces of dates, and then wait for hours.
Yeah.
Till I find the appetite.
Like, now you haven't eaten. I think you just had a few gooseberries and cherries, and it's already, bismillah, 11 p.m., past 11 p.m. It's 11:07 p.m.
See, the idea that you can refrain from indulging in food for a few hours, but have zero control in your mind, zero control in your mannerism, zero control in the way you talk. Do you see what happens to people when they're driving in Ramadan?
Yeah. Oof. I saw it today. There was a man tailgating me, Dad, like bumper to bumper, and not wadami siarat, like in front of me are other cars. And he's tailgating me. And I was like, okay, I'm going at the speed limit of 120 kilometers an hour. You know what I mean? There are cars in front of me. Where are you trying to go, sir? Like, where are you trying to go? You know? And then he gets so mad. And you could tell there's a girl next to him in the car. I believe it was his wife. And then his wife, excuse me. And then he goes to the right. And then comes and just slides right in front of me. Only to... Basabiso, please. Bismillah. Only to end up right in front of me, not going any faster and not getting any further than me because there are cars on the road. Like, we're all trying to get to iftar, you know? But to me, that was a little crazy because it's Ramadan, you know? But I said what I said yesterday. The devil is locked up. And if you mess up this month, it's on you. That's just you. That's just who you are as a person.
I pity the poor devil. We don't need him active anymore.
Yeah.
We're doing a good job at it.
On our own. You know, it's very interesting because I posted that video where I said that they say in Islam that the devil's locked up during the month of Ramadan, which means if you mess up, it's entirely on you. And that concept should terrify you. It should terrify you that if you mess up this month, it's entirely on you. And everyone, alhamdulillah, the Ramadan videos have been doing well and people are like, yeah, and it's a great reminder. I love it. Ramadan tends to bring out usually the best in people. But then you have that one or two people who are like, no, your qareen and your jinn and your I don't know what is still out. So you're trying to tell me that you're so weak that not even the big boss has to come, the big boy needs to come mess with you. His little demons are going to come affect you. Like, come on now. Any excuse just to be like, no, there's still a little bit of the devil out. I don't care, bro. Get it together. It's Ramadan. Like, you have no excuse. But to still look for like, oh, there's this little demon and that little demon. I don't care. Are you that weak?
From, we say, min al-turath al-Islam al-jameel. من الموروث اللي وصلنا what we have received from our great I think this is one of the wisdoms of سيد الإمام علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام الله. He says صيام القلب خير من صيام اللسان وصيام اللسان خير من صيام البطن. So there are levels of fasting.
Yeah.
So siyam al qalb, the fasting of the heart, is when your heart does not fiddle or see or is bothered with anything but Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. And siyam al lisan, which is very difficult.
Yeah.
Where you refrain from saying the wrong things.
Yeah.
And only say the good things. And one of the best things you could say is the dhikr, is the...
Yeah.
And وصيام اللسان خير من صيام البطن. Because the easiest is to refrain from eating for a few hours.
Yeah.
Now, and unfortunately, what you see is like you're rewarding this monster of an ego which did this remarkable job of not eating for a few hours by overindulging into an immense amount of variety of food. We have the highest rate of heart attacks in Ramadan. We have the highest rates of comas. We have the level of diabetes and that comes in. People tend to put weight in Ramadan.
Gain weight. Yeah, it's interesting that some people gain weight rather than lose weight in Ramadan.
And see, this is where you take the wisdom and the light and the heavenly, godly light.
And you twist it to suit your ego. I agree. But can I say something as well before, just because you said something, speaking of the detox, this is a concept that I would love to touch on. Ramadan is not a detox. It's not your Pilates, matcha sipping Range Rover mom 30-day detox. We're just going to sip juice all month. Ramadan is not a detox. It's a form of, one of the benefits of it is that it can be a detox, but the principle, mabda of it, is not that it's a detox.
Well, I would agree that it's a detox. For a detox of what?
But that's what I'm saying. One of the benefits of it is that it is a detox. But Ramadan is not, I'm just going to detox for the next 30 days, and I'm just going to sip my matcha. And I'm going to fast, and I'm going to wake up and pray Fajr, you know? Yeah. And then I'm going to go to Pilates right after iftar. And then, you know, I'm really going to be zen for the 30 days. That's not that's what I'm trying. Do you know what I mean? It's not your White Girl Valley 30-day detox program.
Yeah, if we want to play the acronym's name or game or whatever. Yeah, it is a detox of the brain, detox of the heart, detox of the...
I'm talking about the attitude.
Of, yes.
I'm just going to do this for 30 days, and then once it's Eid, it's like we're back to our regular old self.
Alhamdulillah, it's you know, go ahead. When you take a heavenly concept and play with it to suit egotistical needs, it's very dangerous.
I agree.
All those heavenly concepts and teachings were given to us to enable us master this devil of ours.
Yeah.
The evil of ours.
Is that the Qareen?
النفس مش محتاجة قرين.
Yeah.
النفس فألهمها فجورها وتقواها.
Yeah.
The ego itself can be it has the ability to refine to become heavenly, or ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين.
Yeah.
Or it goes down to a level where the devil himself, what, you just taught me something I didn't know I could do, في القرآن حتى الكريم شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. يعني الشياطين في شياطين إنس وفي شياطين جن. The devils of humans and the devils of jinn are يوحي يعني
inspiring each other
yeah. telepathically or whatever.
Yeah.
They take and give from each other.
Yeah. But I think that's a really important thing that you said. The reason I say Ramadan is not a detox, I think one of the, I'll say it again, one of the benefits is that it's a detox. Like when Ramadan comes and it really recenters me and realigns me, it's such a blessing. And I kind of remember, Ramadan's my favorite month of the year. I'm just going to say what it is. I love Ramadan so much. And alhamdulillah, with Fadi doing the Giving Family, it's just such a blessing. We've gone 2 days in a row. One of the things that I mentioned to you and to Sarah, my closest friend, that fasting the past 2 years was one of the hardest things for me to do. And I was kind of really terrified that this year I would struggle to fast. And alhamdulillah, the first 2 days have been a dream. And it's been really easy and it's been so fun. It's been fun. I love Ramadan. It's my Christmas. I love Ramadan so much. Because it brings out, I see alhamdulillah, so far, it kind of brings out the best in people. At least the people that I'm around. They're heavy on their deen. They love the fasting. They love the jam'ah, you know, al-lam al-halwa. It's been great so far, and the charity aspect. But the reason I say it's not a detox is because a lot of people enter it with fake notions of spirituality and this closeness to God. And it's, but you can tell they're just kind of counting down the days to be able to go back to normal. And they just take advantage of the short working days because khas, I'll just go home and sleep it off. But that's not the essence of Ramadan. I like to be awake. I like to enjoy every second of it. You know what I mean?
You know, we'd be kind of sheltered from one another aspect of Ramadan, the negative Ramadan, which I suffered from for some time. I have a story to tell there.
What?
The nights, people spend hours and hours moving from one series to the other, from one...
Oh, the musalsalat?
Musalsalat.
So no, my girlfriends, do you know what they do? They actually go to Taraweeh every night. I think it's amazing.
Alhamdulillah.
And subhanAllah, the woman that I was talking about in the beginning of this video who did the gut research, last year, and the year before, I believe, but especially last year, she would see the girls always after the giving family go to iftar and then go to Taraweeh, and she felt like she was missing out. So she started looking into, like, what is this that they're doing? And this year, she's fasting with us.
Mashallah.
And she loves, like, she wants to go to iftar and she wants to go to Taraweeh. And I think that's amazing, you know? And rather than scare her away, it's amazing. I love it. And that's what I'm talking about, this lemme. I see my girls, and mind you, I don't have that many friends. Let's not get it twisted. And it's just recently that I've been really, really blessed, and God has blessed me with some really nice women, some really God-fearing, good, decent women. And they, I promise you, will go to the charity event, then they will go have a nice iftar, and then they will go to Taraweeh. And it's not because it's the vibes, it's because it's genuinely what they want to do. That's why I'm saying it's not a detox. These are actually women who see Ramadan for what it is.
One of the things that always, part of the night is my very, very private.
Yeah, you wake up for Qiyam al-Layl. I've said this many a time on the show.
It's my private treasure. I spent a few years in Jordan, and suddenly Ramadan comes, and I couldn't have that sense.
Because the streets are litty titty in the city.
Yeah, and the house is noisy, and the that city did not finish yet, and you wake up in the night, and it, but you don't know what's happening. The first year, I remember when, a few years after, I begged for it not to happen anymore. And alhamdulillah, that was the last year.
Subhanallah.
Because it really meant a lot.
Yeah,
it really meant a lot.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. Like the value of Ramadan nights, you don't want to do prayers, fine and well. You don't want to do... That's fine. Just don't waste them doing the wrong things. Just waste them doing the...
Yeah. I think it's, but you know, you mentioned Surat Wattini Wazaytun, and in that where it says, وَخَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تُقِيمْ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفِلَ سَافِلِينَ. I think Ramadan is the epitome of this ayah.
SubhanAllah.
I really do. وَخَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تُقِيمْ ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفِلَ سَافِلِينَ. Because Ramadan is the epitome of that, because like I said, the devil gets locked away, and you are fully responsible for everything you do. So that's your fitrah. Your fitrah is your innate nature. It's what you're born with. It's what you're made of, your ma'dan. And people really underestimate this. But this is, yani, if you translate it, ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ السَّافِلِينَ, it's then we made you the lowest of the low. So if Ramadan comes, and it's just 30 days, and you can't get it together, I don't know what could be lower than that. I don't know how egotistical you have to be to just be like, I don't care, I'm not changing my ways during Ramadan.
You know why Ramadan kind of mirrors the nature of us?
Because it strips you of everything else.
Because there is no riya, there is no hypocrisy.
You can't fake it.
You cannot fake it.
You can't fake fasting. You can't fake praying. You can't fake the charity. I think the five pillars of Islam you cannot fake. That's why they're so specific. That you cannot fake being generous. You cannot fake fasting. You cannot fake praying. You could in front of people, but who are you lying to? God? عملت حالك صليت قدام الله.
There is a lot of riya in salah.
What's riya?
Riya is the act of hypocrisy. Yeah, the word hypocrisy in Islam is nifaq.
I know nifaq.
Riya is when you do something for the attention of people. They want them to say that you are this or you are
that. There's a lot of that. Mm. But that's what I'm saying, in front of people. You can fake certain things. Anyone can fake anything in front of people.
Except
if you're dumb enough to follow it, you can. Even the siyam. You think, Dad, مثلاً, let's say the charity event I go to. A lot of people can show up for the 2-3 hours, act like they're fasting, go home. I could be at home all day. My friends go like, oh, are you fasting today? Yeah, totally, alhamdulillah. And I'm just like sipping my matcha.
But
in front of God, you can't.
That's lying.
But even praying. If you're praying and you're distracted, and subhanAllah, when we talked about this before on the show, and I had a lot of even friends message me like, I love praying and I'm trying so hard, but I still get distracted and my mind strays. Granted, my mind still strays every now and then, of course, but I don't know. I think this is something that I learned from you, because you had a story where you told me about the first time your mind went quiet during prayer. So I'll never forget it. And I, again, I'll use this very carefully, but envied you so much that I was like, I want it. So alhamdulillah.
You only know it when you have it.
I know. So even that one I spoke about. But my point is, I could act like I'm praying, and then just while I'm praying, like, be thinking about like that song that's stuck in my head, or that message I need to get to, or I just want to go back to watching my show. You could easily do that. Most people, unfortunately, do that. Lakin, just not to take any credit away from them, the niyyah is there. If your niyyah is to pray and to focus, but some people just do it as like a wajib. You know, when you're just doing something for the sake of yalla, I just have to do this. I will never tell you not to pray, but there are ways to fake it. Am I making sense?
I'll tell you how there is no riya. There is no riya
in prayer or siyam.
In siyam, you can stand somewhere and act like you're praying.
Yeah.
And act like you're praying so diligently and khushu'an, and your brain is with the people around.
Yeah.
But how can you do that with siyam? You have to go tell them, oh, by the way, ana saim. The minute you start talking about your siyam, that's open nifaq. Because while you are actually in a state of siyam, how can you tell people that you are saim?
I understand what you're saying, but like, this is, for example,
let's say somebody comes and offer you water, and you say thank you, offer you water, and you say no thank you. Ya Sheikh, halafta alayk, please take some coffee. Then you can say, but how often that happens? Like, I'm sorry.
More often than you think.
Yeah,
I went to do my hair yesterday, the first day of Ramadan, and I was offered more than once by the girls, would you like a coffee, ma'am? Can we make you a tea?
Thank you.
I kept saying, no, thank you, no, thank you. By the fifth time, I was like, guys, I'm sorry, I'm fasting. And they were like, oh, you're Muslim, so sorry, we didn't know. And I'm like, totally fine, totally fine.
That's fine.
But the
riya is that you go and instigate it, so they ask you. Or you just go, no, ma'am, I don't.
That can happen.
Then
you don't think that there are people that are egotistical enough that they want everyone to know that they are such a pious Muslim and fasting?
There are, in of course everything there are.
In everything,
In everything there are. In everything there are. But it's in the siyam itself, in the act of siyam itself, there is no riya. You cannot.
Yes, I understand what you're saying. But and I think in the five pillars of Islam, those are the things that, I think that's why they're the pillars, because you can't fake them. You can fake being generous, like in front of people, like رحت عطيت حدا 10 دراهم, or but God knows these are the things that it's not about the people, it's about Allah. And that's what I think is so important in the five pillars of Islam. And one of the reasons that I think they're not chosen by accident, because God makes no mistakes, and obviously God did not pick the five pillars of Islam by accident. But the prayer, the fasting, the zakah, the hajj,
shahada.
I'm so sorry. These are things you cannot fake, because if you say them in public, like you want to take the shahada in public and you're a liar, بينك وبين ربنا, he will always know. God will always know. And I think they're on purpose, because prayer is one of the hardest things to commit to, but one of the things you need the most in life. Zakah helps you more than it helps the people you're helping. It is a blessing if you've been chosen to be able to help. Siyam helps you more than it helps anyone. I really think if you're sad, go fast. If you're depressed, go fast. If you're lost, go fast. If you need guidance, go fast. There's something that happens in that state of fasting where God puts signs right in your soul, like it vibrates throughout you. And I think there's a reason these are the five pillars of Islam, like this beautiful religion that we have. It's because you can fake it all you want in front of people, but God knows.
God knows.
And I think that's so powerful.
In the hadith, كل عمل ابن آدم له إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به. All what ابن آدم, what
humankind
does is his own deeds.
Yes, except for fasting.
Except for fasting. It's for me.
For God.
For God.
Mm.
And I shall reward it my way. My yani, like that's something.
See, that's why I was just saying that when you fast, things just happen. In that state of fasting, like truly.
No.
You know? I think there's a reason that you were so drawn to fasting for, like, when you were a younger man. You're just old now. But when you were a younger man, you loved fasting.
I struggle. Like, alhamdulillah. Yani, Have you been struggling?
Listen, can we talk about it? Even though you're an older man, I struggled the last 2 years. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of God, it's been a lot easier the past 2 days.
I miss those days where I used to fast. And I'm like, alhamdulillah. But then I'm grateful that I managed to do few of those years.
But do you think that you're struggling? Let's be fair, our eating habits weren't the best. Let's call things what they are. Do you think that maybe if after the first week it'll get easier, or do you think it'll remain?
I don't know. I could do like, for example, water fasting, which is like, no, don't eat for days.
You can't, because you move too much, Baba. If you were staying bilbayt and kind of taking it like a khushur kind of 10 days.
I think the fact that I put so much weight, and
I was praying that Ramadan helps you lose weight,
bsarah. Inshallah. But I alhamdulillah, I do my fasting. It's just not, it's I miss those days when it was just a bliss.
A breeze, yeah.
I would,
and it was something you looked forward to, truly.
Very much.
Yeah.
I would spend a whole month fasting, and nobody around me
I remember those days.
Like London, the work, nothing. And
you fasted the 2 months before Ramadan.
It is one of the sunan, one of the, one of the, very few people do it, but
it's fine.
I think
fasting is great. If I could do a water fast again for 2 weeks, I really, just for me personally, I would. Because I thrive when I deprive myself of certain luxuries in life. I refocus, I realign.
My master, almost all his life,
spent fasted. Fasting.
Yeah. Spent at least 2 months before Ramadan, and then 10 days after Ramadan.
Yeah.
And subhanAllah. Those people are unique.
Yeah, they are.
And they never force it on anyone. And most people around them, they wouldn't even know that they're fasting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah, my friend, she's quite lovely with that. Sometimes I'll call her. I'll be like, because she always tells me, do you want to go out for lunch? So sometimes I'll be like, hey, babe, do you want to go out for lunch today? Let's not ruin the laptop, baby. Thank you, my love. Sorry, I just need to get my thumbnail. Thumbnail? This is the picture that I put as the thumbnail. Thank you, Bashavisho. Thank you. Daddy, how much do you love this kid?
Alhamdulillah. She's a good girl.
She's the best girl. Okay, all right. Anyway, she's very gracious with that. That sometimes I'll call her, Sarah, and she'll be like, oh, no, I'm fasting today. I'll be like, just because it's a Monday or a Thursday, صح? هدول الأيام اللي منصومهم. Just take. She's just like, I need some realignment. I'm going to fast today. And I really think people don't understand the benefit of fasting. It heals you to your core. There is a reason God asks it of us for these 30 days. I really think there's a solid reason. It not only does it biologically like clear your gut and refocus and get rid of certain addictions, like the coffee addiction, for example. I know you and I struggle with that quite heavily. But other things, it's just...
I love coffee. I've always loved coffee.
Too much, Baba, too much.
Yeah, but the way even I drink it, just black, just coffee, nothing else.
On a dark roast.
In a dark roast. And any addition to it is an insult.
I'm going to stop you right there because I love me a nice latte.
one of the few...
love an iced latte, Daddy. What's wrong with
one
you?
One of the few stories I recall clearly is how you really can keep things for yourself if you want to keep them for yourself.
Give me an example.
One of those times, in between 30 and 40, I did a lot of fasting. And I used to go out where I have groups of people coming to visit me.
Yeah.
I have to dine them. I have to look after them. Mm. I have to take them to fancy places. I did it while I'm fasting. No one ever bothered to notice that I'm not eating.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know how traditionally we're always busy feeding the people when we invite them. So I cut, I serve, I do this. But nobody ever said to me, why you are not eating with us?
Yeah.
Like, alhamdulillah.
It's one of the things I noticed so much. Like if someone, Sarah and I will always be like, I'll notice if someone's, if we go out and someone's not eating. Because Sarah and I, we love food and we're like, we're just going to eat. So I really notice if I go out with someone and they don't eat.
I remember I had a big group of Italians. I sold the factory to an Italian company.
That's so, my back. I just need to fix this pillow. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Habibi. The daughter of the owner came of the company came to sign the contract.
Yeah.
And I took them to a Thai restaurant. It's in Marina, just here in front of you. And it's been months that I've been doing this, and nobody ever told me that why you are not eating with us.
Mm.
That lady, 20 minutes in the sitting, and she said, Dr. Khalid, why you are not eating?
You know why? I'm going to be extremely pro-women right now. It's because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman.
It's because she's a woman. Amen.
And I'm women like, I notice. Just looked at her. I said, you have no idea how long it has been that I've been doing
since
this.
And
nobody ever noticed.
It's because she's a woman.
Subhanallah.
Women have this thing about them, I swear. Women can be so beautiful. If only women knew how beautiful they can be.
If only they knew how beautiful
they are. It's why it breaks my heart so much when I see women put themselves in positions that lower their value, that dehumanize them, that kill their femininity, that kill their soul. Because I think women can be so freaking powerful and beautiful and magnetic. And it's all ruined over some crusty, dusty son, someone's son. You know what I mean? Or because she doesn't see her value, or because she thinks she has daddy issues, or mommy and daddy didn't love me enough. And they can all, to a certain extent, be valid reasons. But to me, I'm just like, it's all noise. If you just go back to you, and if you just realize how amazing you are, women are healing. I really think women can be so amazing. And it's why I'm the harshest on women, because I love them the most. Because I really think they don't understand what a gift from God they are.
Alhamdulillah, that's another very spiky subject.
Spiky? Daddy, I haven't heard the word spiky in a while.
And spiky. Subhanallah. Yeah, it's a pity.
It is a pity because I see the women around me and I'm just like, we were talking about this yesterday at Iftar. I was like, if you truly, and Sarah pointed this out to me, if you asked me about the people in my life, like if I knew any single dude and he was like, I'm single, I'm looking to settle down, I know a few really good women in my life. Like they're decent women. Bikhafu Allah, they fear God, they're trying their best, they're not out in these streets. You know what I mean? Can there be some fine tuning? Yeah, who can't have some improvement and fine tuning? But the foundation is there, let's say, of a good woman, of a decent woman. Unfortunately, there are very few men around me that I can be like, that's a good man.
Alhamdulillah, I might disagree. I think the.
Do you know any good men? Actually, I know who you know, and I agree. And I agree, but that's not the same. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everyday people in everyday life.
It's very testing times.
It is very testing times.
So
it is.
Yani, it's very testing time, and we've been told about by our great master Sayyid al-Azam sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, elaborately we've been told what will happen, what we will see, how things will change, and this is all to prepare us to navigate your way through through this cloud upon cloud.
Yeah, let's go back to Ramadan. What are your goals for this Ramadan? For this 30-day detox program.
Allah, survive it.
Really? Dad, you can't say this to me. Listen, okay, let me tell you what this man did to me, okay? Because by the way, they all think that they're your children too and they call you Baba. So they can penalize you just as much as I'm about to penalize you. I already did, but I'm going to tell them. I'm literally complaining to them about you, okay? Let me tell you what this man did. He, for the past, I want to say a week, 10 days, like right before Ramadan, I would call him and he's like, I'm not feeling well, I'm really sick. And like he's mentioned, he's gained weight and he is an overweight man and he has a history of like not the healthiest habits and he's been hospitalized and flatlined and all these things that we mentioned on last time's episode. And both of your parents, I believe, passed away when they were younger than you already. You're turning 62 in April.
And they My father lived to 63.
63.
Oh, okay. And I'll be 61 in April.
Yeah. 61 in April, you are correct. Right, 61. Okay? But your mom passed away at 52, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah. So already almost a decade younger than you, almost. And so I was like, Dad, you need to stop this and you need to start taking better care of yourself and like, khalas, like enough is enough. I'm like, what's the point of working as hard as you're working just to die? You know? If God decides to take you, God decides to take you. But you have to do what you have to do as a Muslim while you're here. Sah wa lala? We are in agreement at least of this. So anyway, the next day, or a few days later, at night I'm messaging him. He's not responding. I called him, he didn't answer. And this was around 6, 7 p.m. It was early, and you don't sleep that early. I was like,
I
fine.
I forgot my phone.
It's fine. I didn't think much of it. But the next day, I call him because I'm on the phone with my team. We're on a Zoom call just planning the day. And then I'm like, guys, wait, my father's not responding and you guys need to give me a minute. And I mute and I keep calling my dad all morning. He's not answering. And then I call your team to see where the hell you are. And then they're like, oh, he left the house for something. I'm like, okay, cool. He left the house and dropped dead somewhere. That's what's going on in my mind. And I had to literally calm myself down and be like, okay, if God decided to take him, God decided to take him. You need to handle this with as much grace as possible. I was like, you're not going to freak out. And you're not going to turn into a psycho. And I was like, you have to respect God's wishes. Like, if God decided today's the day, today is the day. And I literally was like, okay. And then you called me. And I was like, you don't understand. I mentally prepared that you were gone.
I really forgot the telephone. That doesn't really happen that much.
You were on the phone also struggling to talk and breathing heavy and not feeling well.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, I never faked being sick.
I know. You and mom are beautiful people in that sense, truly. You've never wanted medical attention or seeked attention through medical atrocities. Alhamdulillah, it's not a thing you guys have. By the grace of God, both of you despise hospitals and avoid it at all costs, which I'm very grateful for, alhamdulillah. But literally, I was like, okay, this is everything I've trained for. I have to mentally prepare that dad's gone. And khalas, I was like, I refuse to be angry about this because if God decided this, there is a wisdom behind it. But I was sitting right where you're sitting, had to have a whole moment. And I was like, okay, funeral. I don't know anything about a Muslim funeral. I was like, literally, this is what I went through. And I'm not an overthinker, but you never do that. Of not responding. But it's because you were so sick and that happened. And then now you come and you joke about surviving Ramadan. Which is, again, Ba'id, I love you so much. But if God decides to take you, God decides to take you. If he decides to take me, he decides to take me. But you have to do the best that you can to stay alive.
Actually, alhamdulillah.
It is your duty as a Muslim to remain healthy. You want to go back to God overweight?
Alhamdulillah.
Do you want to die overweight?
Do you know... Nothing breaks my heart like being overweight.
Do you know why? Because it's haram.
No, it's not haram. It breaks my heart because in one of the hadiths of the Prophet he talks about Ahl Akhir Zaman, the people of end of time, and he says, وَيَظْهَرُ فِيهِمُ السِّمَن.
Yeah, they're fat. It's one of the signs. Oh, the obesity is one of the signs of the end of times. But Daddy, I don't want to say you're not a sign of the end of times. You've struggled. Listen, you and I both know the things that you've been through and the reason why you relied on food a lot. Because I have that same thing. Shireen had that same thing. Zimo had that same thing. Your kids have the same habits. And we're lucky enough and so blessed that we had a dad like you who was very self-aware, very like... mental health matters, but this is how we do things and Islam and incorporate it. you went through a time after your parents passed where you were kind of really alone. Like, it makes me cry. I always tell sometimes people, I'm like, you don't understand. My dad's an orphan, Abu Yatim. Like, he's alone. And it's a hard concept for people sometimes to grasp, because it's like, it's a grown man with kids and khalas. But no, you know? So your relationship with food was a very specific one, you know? But then also, subhanAllah, your ability to fast that most people in this dunya lack, you know? And the thing is, I know you can go back to it. I know so much that you can do that. It's just, you put so much pressure on yourself and you're doing certain things that I told you, Dad, you need to like designate. I struggle to designate to my team. Not that I'm a control freak, but, and I don't like to micromanage, and you can ask my team, they love working with me because I don't micromanage, but I struggle to let loose of the reins sometimes, you know, just because, and we don't need to go into details, we've been screwed over by people before. It's like, khalas, like, I'm just going to take control of my own life. But you can loosen the reins a little bit because God has blessed you with a good team right now. A loyal team, mind you.
A good, loyal team, but most of it are females. A lot of the work that I need to do is a man's job.
I know. It's the heavy lifting kind of thing.
They're going certain places.
I understand.
Closing certain deals. Alhamdulillah, it's going to come. It's not that I'm holding. It's never been in my nature to hold.
طب لو وظفت لك شوفير. Would that help if you get a driver?
The time will come.
I can do that for you.
No, the time will come.
God has blessed me.
Time will come.
So
Alhamdulillah, what I'm building is growing.
No, I think we'll get you a driver. The problem is solved. But guys, in the comments, because he reads y'all's comments, can you just be like, Baba Khalid, you need to stay alive for us. Well, who am I going to film this podcast with when you're gone? I will end this podcast when you die. I will end it. I'll shut it down.
No, inshallah, I will stay with you for long. Alhamdulillah.
If you die, I shut down this podcast. I promise you.
So one of... I actually, it just talking about it, it moves me emotionally so much. I really prayed, like, do not make me one of the end. Do not let me be one of the end of time.
The signs. Yeah, Habibi.
Like, alhamdulillah, yani, alhamdulillah, umuru lu hikam, jalla wajhuhu. You know, I remember. It's
You're
funny.
So beautiful, Baba.
I was sitting.
I gave you a compliment.
Yeah, Habibi.
I said you're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
You really are, Daddy. You're one of the. You know, I love that he doesn't show himself on camera, but you guys should see him. He has skin like he's been doing Botox since he was 20. He is pink in the cheeks naturally, white under eyes like he's concealed and baked. Like, he's just a beautiful man, truly. Beautiful eyes, stunning eyelashes.
Can I say something?
And yeah.
This is an advice for. There are a few times where I have received such compliments, and when people, I always tell them, it's Salatul Layl. Just wake up in the night.
The noor shines on your face.
It really keeps you young.
It keeps you youthful. And you are, you know, despite you being obese and stuff, what did I tell you? When I saw the picture of you and Abhai. So Dad has a friend called Abhai that you've known since your 30s, 20s, something like that?
Yeah, he worked with me, and then he became...
And he came to visit us in Jordan
when
I was 15 years old.
Yes.
And I remember my sister took a photo of them. And they were youthful men in their 40s, you know. And then I saw Abhai a year or a year and a half ago. Remember in Burjman Tahit, when I came, so you take my car and drop me off at the airport because I was flying out for a few weeks. And when I saw him, I remember looking at both of you. And what did I tell you in the car? You both, mashallah, are more handsome now than in that photo from almost 15 years ago. Men age differently. But you specifically, I think the more spiritual and closer you've become to Allah and the Prophet, alayhi salatu salam, the more it's shown on your face. And I really believe this. Your insides will dictate your outsides. Before you know it, your outside matches what you are made of on the inside. So people who don't pray, people who cuss, people who cause evil, people who backstab, people who gossip, uqsim billah, I have seen it with my own two eyes. Before you know it, it shows on their face. They become ugly. And they are some of the most, objectively speaking, beautiful people in the world, but it begins to show.
It begins to show.
And that's why you say Qiyam al-Layl. It's true. You wake up for prayer every night. I don't remember a night you've missed waking up for Qiyam al-Layl. And it shows on your face. You're in your 60s.
I have seen people from my spiritual lineage in their 90s.
They're stunning.
In their 90s.
Beautiful.
And late 90s.
Beautiful.
And how beautiful and how amazing and radiant they stayed. And men and
the
women.
The skin is stunning.
The skin is stunning. The eyes.
Bright.
Bright and full life. Of life. I remember the eyes of my father dying. And how clear, how baby-like. Like just like a newborn baby. Mm. That clarity.
Mm.
And I remember visiting an old... Old people refuge, or what they call it, center?
A senior citizen home?
Yes, like that kind of in Germany.
There's a specific name, but I can't remember.
In Germany with a
retirement
very...
Retirement house, yeah. Like that kind of thing?
Yeah, where we look after old people and in Germany. They're known to have very good care, which is physical care. I went with my friend there to visit his wife's mother. It almost broke me. To see the panic, the loss, the disorientation, the fear, the anxiety in the eyes of those people.
Yeah, because they know they're nearing the end.
It's a complete different thing.
Mm.
And he told me, you know why I come here?
Mm.
He visited that lady twice a week. You know what? Actually... Once a week, and his wife does the other visit.
Okay.
So they visit twice a week.
Yeah.
I said, no, why? He said, because I don't want to be like her.
Yeah. So it's a reminder to keep him.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what happened?
He became like her.
In the same place.
Really?
In the same institute. Now. Because it's not for you to decide. And I always told him,
but that's not the worst thing if he says, I don't want to become like this. Why is that wrong? Like if I look at something
I'm not saying it's wrong. I loved this man so much.
I know you did.
And I used to tell him, you take very good care of your body. You run for hours. You go to the gym. You do this.
But no spirituality.
No spirituality. The level of anxiety, the level of fear on the future, the level of...
Yeah, this man, guys, he was like... a silver fox at some point because his hair turned white. That he's older than you. He's far older than you, if I'm not mistaken.
He was in his late 70s.
There we go. But he was very fit, very handsome, fit. Very like put together and very... In his life also, he's had successes. Intellectual, but no spirituality at all. I remember this since we were kids. Like I've known this man since I was a baby.
Just before he had the incident, he was bragging that in the airport they had to... body to search him and they could not believe that that is a body of a man who is in approaching.
But haram, his end was not like, and he I'm had a like, small accident in our house and it was just ugh.
And he's such a good man. You he remember is. Being and he in stood Germany
by you a lot.
We, alhamdulillah, we stood by each other a lot.
I agree of course.
And you know, I will never forget the incident when
I got sick in Germany.
Yes,
I was very young. How old was I? Eight,
maybe.
And I got food poisoning, was it?
I think so.
What it was? You it stayed was in the hotel poisoning. With me. No, yeah, mom yeah. stayed. See, my mom stayed in the hotel with me and you and Shireen went to the barbecue. Aha, don't even try me right now. Don't even try me right now. So it's the one time you left me with mom when I was sick.
Yeah. We left you. We left you with the medicine. He had a special dinner for you.
I got really sick and I threw up in the back of his car. And I got food poisoning, like it was bad. I was really, really sick. And he didn't complain, didn't vent. Like imagine throwing up in someone's car, you know? And I was a child. So it's bad enough. It's like, oh my God, you and your pesky children.
No, his face didn't change.
Didn't change.
He didn't show any sign of
frustration, you know, upset, nothing. He was...
I was more frustrated and upset than he is.
And he cleaned up the mess that I made.
And I wanted to clean and he refused.
And he was beautiful about it. Never guilt tripped, never said anything.
Never.
And he meant it. He wasn't faking it. He was genuinely unbothered.
Subhanallah.
I'll keep him in my prayers this Ramadan. I didn't realize he was in a senior citizen home. He's good people.
I always told him, like, Subhanallah, God bless him.
I'll keep God him in my prayers this Ramadan. That makes me sad.
Alhamdulillah.
Anyway, you need to just do the best that you can, Daddy.
Inshallah, your prayers, and I'm talking to all of you.
Always. Yeah. But I think the thing that will bother you the most, if you reach a point where you're unable to, God forbid, walk or move alone, inshallah, I think that will not make you happy.
Inshallah, that will never happen.
Inshallah. But you have to ta'amil illa alayk.
Inshallah.
I think someone said to me very recently was, time really waits for no one. It really doesn't, Dad.
No, it doesn't.
It really doesn't. Time will not wait for you.
It doesn't.
I think, and I've said this to you before, and we've agreed on this, I think, that the difference between certain people sinning is not the sin itself, it's your knowledge of how the sin affects you. So if you know how that this is a sin and how bad it is and how, like, the seriousness of it and why God said it's a sin and the impact that it has on you, because you've experienced it, you've gone through the trenches and you've come out and you're like, oh, I understand the lesson now. And you do it again, you are punished very differently than someone who is committing that sin for the first time as a naive innocent who isn't aware of how egregious and horrible this can be and the repercussions of it. That therein lies the difference to me, at least to me personally, of certain sins, why some people get different repercussions. So in your case, because you know what you know, you're punished differently than someone who doesn't know. And that's why I think, knowing what you know, Baba, you cannot meet your God like this. And you won't.
Alhamdulillah, inshallah. Inshallah khair.
Also, inshallah, like, why are you ready to leave me? Like, we've just gotten good.
No, this is not...
I don't know, you say you always say you're ready. Don't backtrack now.
I'm not backtracking. I've been actually ready.
Maybe. Long time. I've heard you say it for a while.
But it doesn't mean, it really, really doesn't.
I know, it doesn't mean. I think this is something, subhanAllah, sometimes I'll call my dad and I'll ask him, I just feel this heaviness, this feeling of melancholy and just this, I guess, yearning for something I don't even know. And I don't like to say these things because I'm always like I don't get depressed for no reason. I don't feel these blues for no reason. And he said something that just really struck a chord with me. You said, you will always feel it because we're not meant to be here. This dunya is a test and it's a train stop. And the closer you get to Allah and His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the sadder you are to be away from them. And people need to make no mistake, it's not depression and suicide. It's just this yearning to be with your Creator.
Absolutely.
And it's this yearning to do the best that you can while you're here so that you meet Him with the bravest, strongest face, you know? So now I embrace that sense of melancholy, and when it comes more often now than before, I'm like, okay, I'm on the right track. Maybe it's because I feel him more and I sense him in my life more.
I was asked today, just today, by someone dear to me, when you were the happiest in your life. And I'm like, I just don't relate to those questions. And I said, happiest? Never. No, I mean, I understand what you mean. But you want to ask me when moments in my life where I was really content and I cherished those moments so much? Yes, I can tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but this.
Interestingly enough, most of these people who answer this question, it's never in relation to Allah. But we talked about this in the last episode, and if I'm not mistaken, I said my best moments are the moments where I can, in the moment, go like, this is God.
Truly.
And that's when I feel closest to him. And that's what I said, sorry. I said, I feel the closest to Allah in everyday little things now. And I think that's what matters more. So even now, if you'll ask me what my happiest moment was, I'll always talk about a certain moment where I literally took a step back and was like, oh, this is literally God. Those make me so happy because I'm so grateful to be able to recognize it in the moment. I'll tell you a little story. Silly little story. Stupid little story, but I love this story. I was going to my pole class, okay? I have my private class with my instructor at 5:30 on a Monday. Cool? It's a studio right here behind me. And I took my car, very in a good mood. I have my sweatpants on. I'm in the car, and I drive. And usually 5:30, because it's an office building, and these offices are always jam-packed with employees, so it's hard to find a parking spot. But I always have this mentality, and I got it from my mama. that I'm going to arrive and I'm going to find a parking spot. And by the grace of God, every time I do, right in front of the door. Okay? So this time, I'm on my merry way and I get to the place and I go to find that parking spot in front of the door and I see someone in the car with the lights on. And I'm like, they're about to exit. Okay? And rather than be patient for just 120 extra seconds, maybe, I was like, "Khalas, let me turn around and I'll find another spot." Okay? And I had to turn around and I got a little bit stuck in traffic. And as I came back to go back to that spot, because I was, someone took his spot. Like, literally, I saw someone take a spot. And I was actively telling myself, "Layla, you're so impatient. Like, just because you couldn't be patient for 60 seconds, what does Baba always tell you? When you're looking for a park, just wait 60 seconds. Someone will move." And then I clocked myself and I was like, "Stop, you're not going to speak this way about yourself." I was like, "God gives and God takes. You will find another spot." And I just turn and I find a spot even closer to the building. And I literally laughed at myself. I was like, "Hanjad, God gives and God takes." It's so stupid. It's a silly little parking spot story.
One of the incidents, I had many parking spot stories. Many. And one of my favorite is when someone wants to fight with me for a parking spot.
That's crazy. And I'm bro, like, couldn't be me.
For a parking spot? No, come take it.
Take wallah sabak. You can have
it. Just take it.
Yeah.
And if the value for you having that parking spot, losing your mannerism, you're losing your manhood,
acting
like
throwing a temper tantrum.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Acting like you have achieved a big gain or a big victory because you pushed an old man out of... Go ahead.
You got it. It's yours.
Absolutely.
I agree. But silly little story. It's just a parking spot. But it really... I really think maybe this is right now my favorite reminder every day. Obviously, other than my Salah al-Nabi and my Azkar and the Quran. But the little thing that I just easily, quickly just snap myself out of anything and remind myself daily... is just God gives and God takes. Whatever God wants to give me, He will give me.
There is
no amount of stubbornness, fighting, aggression, physical violence. There's nothing I can do to force His hand to give it to
Absolutely. me. Absolutely. And nothing you do can fasten or hasten.
I agree. And then the second thing is, and then He takes. Whatever He wants to take to me, I can hold on for dear life. I can break all my nails holding on to it. Nothing will keep it. And then subhanallah, the things that God wants to take are usually the things that are much better if He removes, because He's gonna make room for better to arrive. And you're holding on to what He's telling you is not for you. Why do I think my decisions are more important than what Allah wants? That's crazy to me. But that's subhanallah, the lesson that's really been in my mind these days, that God gives and God takes, and there's such a beauty to it.
You know, the idea of letting go of something you hold to. When you're holding to something, your hand are gripped.
Which means you cannot receive at the same time because your hands are closed.
You cannot hold something else.
We talked about this. This is why we pray like this.
Yes.
Because we're always open to receiving and giving. Yes. Always.
You need to let go so you can grab something else.
Mm, to make room for
you
us.
You need to empty the cup to refill it.
Mm-hmm.
It's Subhanallah, this philosophy is so simple and straightforward.
It's so simple, but so misunderstood. Because then people will be like, "No, but what about fighting for what I want and prayer changes qadr and cool. But at what point does it become you're so stubborn, you are refusing to acknowledge what Allah has decided for you? You're so stubborn that you're refusing to let Allah just allow things to flow in your life. You're so stubborn that you're not letting the universe that God has put in our path. Everything about this universe is God's chessboard. So when I say the universe, this is God's chessboard that He moves as He wants, as He wills to work in your favor. So at what point are you fighting what God is decreeing is best for you? So this is why I think that Allah gives and Allah takes is so important, because ishirah, it's gone.
You move with submission.
Yeah.
You move with acceptance.
With satisfaction.
With satisfaction, with content.
Mm.
And it's not like wallah a'ad bahlul mistanni, it's not like I'm just sitting waiting for it to rain gold on me.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's not that I am the one who's making it rain.
Yeah.
But if it wanna rain gold, it can rain gold.
It can, absolutely. because, and that's the thing, people tell you, no, that's impossible, it doesn't rain gold. I'm just like, you now, you decided that it's impossible for Allah to make it rain gold.
You know, it's a metaphor.
No, but even literally.
Since I was a child, I
always... Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Since I was a child, I always knew I will become a millionaire. I always knew I'll become rich. It wasn't something that I debated.
Yeah, I have that too. Thanks
and
to you.
I used to stand at the traffic light and turn and see this big, huge, brand new 500 SEL Mercedes. This is in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
Before all the new... And I would look at it with a big smile and I said, Allahi bariklu, may Allah bless him and bless his car. I'll have it and better.
Inshallah, yeah. And you did.
I did. And you know, I know how wealth can come.
Mm.
It's just an opening.
Can we talk about next episode? Because I said in the beginning of this episode, I think as screwed up as people's relationship with other people is, and that's the thing that gets the most attraction online, is men and women and women and women and men and men. I think people's relationship with money is far worse than their relationship with their partners.
Absolutely.
Can we talk about people's relationship to money? I think we should make an episode about that.
That would be brilliant.
Because we went through really highs and really lows with money. So I think we'd be coming from a genuine place.
Alhamdulillah, very few people.
Listen, it's the one thing. By the way, this is something I find very interesting. Because alhamdulillah, I'm new money. I'll say it. I'm very new money. We are. You know what I mean? You're the first millionaire in your family. You know? I'm personally, with my success in life and my career, very new money. When I go to buy designer things, when they go like, ma'am, do you have an account with us? The joke that I make is, no, I just got rich. And they laugh. They laugh. Because it's true, I just got rich. Like, I don't know how else to say it. And I don't have a problem talking about money. Not in a disrespectful way or in a flaunting your money kind of way. But I have no problem talking to people and saying, I couldn't afford Indomie 4 years ago. And I couldn't. I couldn't afford noodles four years ago.
Can you tell people at 14, you were in King's Academy where your fees for 1 year is... fortune.
Yeah, it was, but I'm talking about, and I say this all the time, you were really rich and you lost everything in 2008 and we went through some really hard years. But I think those hard years are what made us better people now and why we respect money more. My relationship with money now is much healthier than what it was 2 years ago.
I didn't lose everything.
You lost almost everything. Dad?
It's way more than that. I was 100 million down.
Yeah, you lost everything.
I was 100 million in the negative.
Yeah, in that, yeah, you lost everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was.
And I had, you see, from 2008 to 2015, I had to cover the 100 plus million.
It was bad.
And there was so much money that used to come, but I just have to pay it here and pay it there. And
it was really bad. And then, anyway, but even after that, forget 2015, the hardest years of my life were 2017 up until a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago. Up until I launched my own agent. And even when I launched, you know everything that I went through. You know, it was, I put a lot into it to get it to where it is today. The sacrifices I made.
The first chapter of you having your own business, alhamdulillah, it was a rip-off. What to do?
But, and even then, I think I was telling Sarah on the phone the other day, I was like, excuse me, I was like, do you think my mom jumped for joy when I told her I'm quitting my job to launch my own thing? Absolutely not. Absolute. Of course, she was terrified. She's like, you have a stable thing going, what are you doing? But it's certain risks that I had to take for myself. And I think, like you, especially recently, I've always known I would be rich and I would make it. But I'm so grateful that it's happening now in the way that it's happening, at the pace that it's happening, because I'm a lot more appreciative. I'm a lot better. I'm a lot more generous. My taking care of my family is my priority. It's been a blessing. Heavy is the head that wears the crown, don't get me wrong. It's heavy. You were even telling me, hala bil elevator, you're like, no daughter has to do what you have to do. It's a blessing, and I'm very, very grateful to God. But I think it's okay to talk about money in a healthy sense of, it's not aib or haram to say, I couldn't afford noodles when my dad was putting a down payment on private jets, and then I went to not affording noodles, and now I've launched my own thing and I have money. I think this is important. And it's without being scammy and 10 steps to get rich in 10 days. Like, it's not that kind of thing. But I think it's when you heal your relationship of money and your self-worth of feeling worthy and understanding the loopholes of how to make money and have your money work. I have a friend who's very good with money, and he said you need to have your dollar work for you and you don't work for your dollar. And there are certain loopholes, and that's how smart people become very wealthy and maintain their wealth, you know? And I just think that's important, because there are a lot of people out there struggling the way I did, the way you did. And I really think before the courses and the 5 steps to become a millionaire in 10 days, it's just about the spiritual aspect of money. I think that's what comes first.
You know,
am I making sense?
Very much.
Thank you. Okay.
Poverty is a state of mind.
It is. And people will be like, I'm not choosing to not be able to pay my bills. But that's not what he's saying. I'll tell you what, they did a study and they kind of like came up with this thesis that if we took everyone's money now and distributed it equally across the board,
it would take a few months.
It would take a few months for the rich to be rich again and the poor to be poor.
Yes.
Because it's a state of mind, it's an attitude, it's a self-worth, it's a scarcity mindset. It's the fear of being poor, it's the fear of spending money, it's the fear of being generous. It's a lack of generosity as well. Finas bakhilin, they're just not generous. All of these factors play very heavily and tie into why you have or don't have money.
I remember we talked about money in the last episode. If you're given 10 million to die, something like this.
Tomorrow. Oh, if I was given 10 million, would I choose to die for my family? And I told
you, no, nothing is worth a day.
Human life, yeah.
A human life.
Yeah.
And it's not about having the 10 million. It's about having the mind and the spiritual maturity to deal with money properly.
Mm.
And no one says it better than him, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. No one. قال نعم المال للعبد المؤمن.
What does that mean, نعم المال؟
نعمة. نعمة means what نعمة is a صيغة مبالغة. It's the way the old Arabs spoke. نعمة is what a beautiful thing, what a good thing.
Money in the hands of a true believer.
Yes.
Absolutely. And this is something, okay, you know what? We're going to talk about this. When I was in Qatar, remember the video that I posted in the farm where I was like, I'm in a farm and I'm making my own incense and I'm feeding chickens and I saw a little pony. I was so happy. And also Qatar is just a beautiful, I loved it. I really did. I had such a lovely time. The weather was, I loved Qatar. Just the Khalij in general, there's like, the people are just different. But anyway, and I mentioned Nara Smith and I was just like, whoever told women we need to be hustling and bustling and independent and I don't know what, really had it twisted. Nara Smith is living her life right. Now, Dad doesn't know who Nara Smith is, but she's this, I believe she's a Mormon, got married at 18, had her first baby at 19. She just turned 23 and she has 3 kids. And she's very, very viral and famous on Instagram, on social media and TikTok for like cooking from scratch. Today, lucky, my husband was craving banana bread, so I decided to make it from scratch. And I started with flour and then kneading my dough. And she literally talks like this. But it's just, it's one of those really soothing videos. And people love her. People are addicted to her. But she's a controversial personality because people are like, you're cooking in like a $10,000 dress. Like, it's ridiculous. But she's also a supermodel. But she loves that. She didn't get pregnant for the aesthetic of it. It was her dream to be a young mom. And her husband wanted to. This. She actually believes in this and that this is her duty on this world. Great, great, great. Long story short, I said, Nara Smith and simplicity. And everyone commented, and my Muslim brothers and sisters, you have disappointed me. Okay? Commented, there's nothing simple about Nara Smith. And I just have one question. When did simplicity become a lack of money?
No.
I can be the richest woman in the world and live a very simple life in wealth. Wealth can be simplicity. When did simplicity become poverty?
By God's name, I have seen very complicated poor people. Very twisted.
Yeah. But that's, forget that. I'm just trying to understand, as Muslims, when did it become haram to have money? When did it become, you're not simple if you have a lot of money? Why are we associating wealth with negative and crooked people?
It's what you do with money and what you do with the lack of money.
Thank you. So I'm trying to get rich. And I am, by the grace of God. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. But I'm still hustling and bustling now and whatever to get to that point where I can take my dad and go live on a farm and just film this podcast. I can feed my chickens at 6 a.m. in the morning. But that, to live that life, you think you don't need a lot of money?
Actually, you do. Simplicity is expensive.
It's very expensive. So thank you. But God never said that you needed to be poor to be simple. God never said it was not okay for Muslims to make money. If anything, I want to make so much money that number one is because I kind of want to show people Palestinians are millionaires. That's number first and foremost. Okay. Number two, the reason I do this podcast and I tell people all the time, it's because I want to remind the world that, Dad, think of, if I tell you now, think of a Christian, okay? Think of a Christian person around the world. Black, tall, white, Caucasian, redhead, African-American, Chinese, Native American. You would think of anything, any size, any height, any build, any gender. You would think, if a man or woman, that's all I meant by gender. You would think of anything, okay? If I tell you, think of a Muslim. Maybe you different, but most people, they would think of Dadoosh. They would think of a terrorist or someone with a beard and someone who's a little intimidating. There's immediately that sense of intimidation. And this is, I've tried this with so many people, and someone tested me with this, and I was like, oh my God, that's still what I think of. Do you see how programmed we've been? Okay? So one of the
programmed
things,
against us.
Against us. Even us Muslims are programmed against us. It blows, it makes me viscerally angry because I hate that I was a sheep. And can still be, because I'm still deprogramming certain things. But this is why I do this podcast, because I'm like, I will be a woman without a hijab, with my nails on, talking about Islam and being a good Muslim, because what? Muslims are all shapes and colors and sizes. And we are not as judgmental as what they would have you think we are. And we are so welcoming and so open, and so much Muslims are fun. We love life. It is a sunnah to enjoy this life, but within the parameters of our religion. Am I mistaken?
Absolutely.
We're not meant to be depressed and sad and reject gifts that God has given us.
Judgmental.
And judgmental and condescending and... No, this is haram, we don't do it. To enjoy life is not haram if it is within the parameters of our religion. So I can be very rich to give back to my ummah. Because who's going to come help me? You're waiting for to have a white man come help me? Why can't I become a good Muslim who is a rich Muslim and break that ideology that you can be very rich and very not crooked and then give back to our ummah? Like, why is that not okay?
It's very much okay.
I had to go on my little temper tantrum because it really irked me when I saw those comments. Sorry.
One of the hadiths, one of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, يقول, إِنَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ مَتِينَ
Ameen.
فَأَوْغِلُوا فِيهِ بِرِفْقِ
Yes. This religion is malleable.
Mateen, solid.
Solid, solid, solid. Some of my bad. I know that. I know that.
Solid. فَأَوْغِلُوا فِيهِ بِرِفْقِ يعني, delve into it gently. There is no end for how long you can delve. You know, there is no end for how long you can, for how deep you can go. But you do it gently.
I know. You know, just that honestly, like I have thick skin and I don't get affected by comments. But honestly, some of these people, like in my comments, they're really giving Islam a bad name.
It's okay. There have been a systemic attack.
I know.
On our religion and our faith, and unfortunately, most of it is done by the hand of so-called Muslims.
I agree, but I will say it till the day I die. You cannot hijack my religion from me. I will sit here without a hijab, and I will talk about my God and my religion because I can.
Of course you can.
Of course I can.
Yeah, of course. You can.
And to the people commenting, especially usually it's like random. Honestly. From the men, I don't care. It hurts when it's from a sister. When it's from a girl, I'm like, girl. When I see a girl comment, I'm like, come on now, Habibi. But I'm just like, if you can do it, please go by all means. You know, and I'm not tooting my own horn. It's by the grace of Allah that we've had this podcast that has helped so many people. But do you know the thousands of DMs that I get every day? In the thousands of people have become Muslim or want to become Muslim or started praying or... Is that not enough?
Subhanallah. What to say?
People will still not see that that's such a blessing. Is that not amazing? And I have one question. If I'm so haram, why did God choose me? Why did He put us in this position?
Alhamdulillah, ala qadri ahli al-azm ta'ti al-azaimu wa ta'ti ala qadri al-kiram al-makarimu. People are focused on their, how to say it, we can see up to our, everyone has his own ceiling.
I mean, people can only perceive up to their depth.
up to their depth,
yeah,
up to their
ceiling. There's a saying, I forgot it, we've said it before.
And anything beyond that is kind of challenging.
Yeah.
Either I have two options now. Either to admit that I have a ceiling and I need a horizon, I need to widen it.
Or I will deem you wrong and incorrect.
Exactly, because you are not tallying to my standards or my...
I wonder that their standards become the ceiling. That's interesting.
You know, one of the incidents that I had...
I know what you're going to say, Dad.
At a very early age, well, I was asked a question in a gathering, and I said the answer, and someone sitting in front of me
was like, "That's incorrect."
He just jumped and said, "This is not correct." Mm. And I was like, "Why it is not correct? Tell me what is correct."
Mm.
So his rebuke was
rebuttal. Yeah,
yeah, it's not correct because I never heard it before.
Mm.
Brilliant. How could you debate such logic?
How can you debate such logic?
Really? Because he never heard it before.
The ceiling of information became his knowledge.
Exactly. So I said to him, and now you have made knowledge the ceiling of how did I say it? You limited knowledge to the ceiling of your ignorance?
Yeah.
So like that level of your ignorance, no knowledge can pass it. And that was perceived as an insult to him. Like I just called him ignorant.
Oh, well, he is.
But he called me liar.
Yeah.
But that's
it's
okay.
It's very interesting, you know? It's so interesting when I see people will be like, no, that's not true. And then I'll be like, and I'll say the same thing you said. And then they'll be like, oh, you're attacking me or you're aggressive. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to... stop you right there. We seem to have skipped where my response came from.
If it's not true, then what is it?
Do you know how many people have, like, we'd be debating or talking? Mind you, I'm not a debatable person. I'm really not. I like my peace. I'm not a contrarian. I don't like drama. And when I say I don't like drama, I mean I will stop you right there. Like, no, shut up, get out. Like, I'm that intense with it. And you know how many people will try to debate me, especially when they know I have a platform, so it kind of like brings out this like, I can one-up you. I'm just like, go ahead and one-up me. I'm so happy for you to do it. Do you know who one-ups me every day? OnlyFans models. That these, you know these prostitutes online? I'm not joking. There was one. She pops up on my page all the time. I don't know why Instagram's pushing her in my face. So I was like, I'm going to try something. And I went to her page, and I was like, okay, she has X amount of followers, okay? Which is a lot more. By the way, she's, I think, like, more than 5 times my following, which is, you know, great. And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna come back in 2-3 weeks and see where she's at. I came back in 2-3 weeks, she had gained another million, and I've been stuck at a number for weeks because if I post something about relationships, the algorithm feeds it, loves it, eats it up. I say anything very religious, especially if I go like Rasul alayhi salatu salam said, nothing. My it caps it at like 80k views, less than 100k views, and then it takes a week to get to 100k. But subhanAllah, my friend today said something. He's like, you are trying to make a podcast about Islam during the time of Shaitan. He's like, you will be met with a lot of resistance, and you will be fought by the upper ups, and they will try to smack you down. And he's like, it's the time of Shaitan. And that's why all these OnlyFans models and all of these crazy videos and these, that it's crazy. The things that I'm seeing online now, I'm like, how is this legal? Like, how are these people not behind bars? There are things online that I'm seeing, I'm like, this is insane.
Alhamdulillah that I don't see these things. All right.
That's it. That's Dad's cue to just wrap it up. He's like, yalla.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks. I think we filmed for... Can you believe it? I actually can't see the laptop from here because that's how bland I am.
Allah yahfazik Rabbi.
Okay, thank you so much, Daddy. I really appreciate you. Dad, be more enthusiastic with your goodbyes. Tell the people what they're here for. Give them what they're here for. They're good. Here, they listen, they comment, they subscribe, they do the most.
Allah yahayyikum ya ahlan wa sahlan. Thank you for this beautiful hour.
This was, I think it's been way more than an hour. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to zoom in with my camera. That's what I'm going to do. Zoom in with my camera. It's been an hour and 20 minutes. Spicy, Dad. Good stuff.
Alhamdulillah.
I love you so much.
Allah yahayyik.
Thank you so much for this. I think this is going to be a great episode. And inshallah, next week, We're going to try to film once a week. Khalas, we're going to try to commit.
Inshallah.
I think we'll still talk about Ramadan, but I'd love to talk about money. I think it'll be a good episode. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. I don't know how to do it. Let us know what you think in the comments below. I really struggle with that one. Can you tell them to like and comment?
To what?
Like and comment. See, we struggle with it.
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't either. I can't. But I will say, let us know what you think in the comment below if we should do an episode about money, because I think it would be important.
Yeah, do that.
Anyway. Thank you guys so much. Ramadan Mubarak. It's my I'm so happy it's Ramadan. You don't even understand. I feel so good about this Ramadan. In Ramadan Mubarak, Siyaman Maqbulan. I hope you guys have a great Ramadan, and then we will see you next week.
Ya Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.